Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jeff Phelps. That's Andy Baskin. Menigan.
Is that from Hee Haw?
Meredith. You met another and you were gone?
Yeah, wasn't it? That was like playing Name That Tune in like 1 second there. You gave me the note and I heard it. And she was gone. Right? Isn't that what it is?
Sure.
Isn't that the line? Isn't that the lyric?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to, didn't resonate though. Like I wanted to hear you sing it. You can sing it. Come on, man.
I could sing the whole song for you, but I don't want to do that.
There is no whole song. Isn't it just like the
beginning? It's a little jingle, a little chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it, but I'm not going to sing it for you.
What was that whole thing? They were standing in the cornfields, and what were they doing, one-liners and singing the song?
We're trying to prime ourselves for the coach's press conference here, and you're talking hee-haw.
Jeff, what's the difference?
I'm here for hee-haw over what's going to happen.
What is the difference between hee-haw and a press conference when the three wins?
We now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Okay, thanks, Jordan. All right, injury front, just an update. Ethan Posick will be out for the season. He's getting surgery. He tore his Achilles. So obviously feeling for Ethan. He's a huge part of our team, of our offense. We've relied heavily on him having a veteran center in there. So disappointed for him, but I know he will bounce back. He's got the right attitude, as you guys would imagine, but disappointed for Ethan. Obviously, that game doesn't go our way, and just trying to talk through it with the team this morning on the things that the reasons for that and the things that we can do better, the things that we have to do better as a football team, offense, defense, special teams, player coaches, things that we have to improve upon in games like that. So it's frustrating. We got to learn from it, and then we'll move on to Chicago. With that, I'll take any questions.
First question, we'll go to Mary Kay.
Kevin, just wondering, is Shador Sanders your starter now for the rest of the season?
Yes.
Okay. And what is your thinking behind that?
I think all along, Mary Kay, as you know, with our quarterbacks and our young players, you're always making sure that you're making the right decisions for our guys. And I think he has constantly and consistently gotten better in each one of these games and how he's approached this game. He's been working very hard. So I feel good about where his development is heading. He knows there are always going to be plays that he can be better and those type of things. But he's very intentional about getting better each and every game he's out there.
Has anything surprised you about his development over these past three starts?
No, I wouldn't. I don't know if surprise is the word, Mary Kay. I think, we've been around each other now going back to April. So I've seen constant improvement in a bunch of areas. But I also saw in that game some areas of improvement in some areas that we asked him to improve upon. And I think that's, the fun part of coaching is developing players and giving them tools to improve in certain areas, if you will. And I think the fun part is when you have players like Shador, like our rookies, whomever it may be, that are very intentional about their own development as well.
Thank you.
All right, next we're going to Daryl.
Yeah, Yeah, Kevin, I wanted to ask about the two-point conversion philosophy. I know that you guys use the probabilities and all those type of things when making those particular decisions about going for two. I guess my question is, like, you guys have been doing this for a long time, and the wins and losses don't seem to be equating that. My question is, how much of game flow and thing and that factor in, and can they outweigh just the the probabilities of, hey, you're down 14, you just scored, go ahead and go for two, so it informs you whether or not you should kick one or two on that second touchdown. I'm trying to understand, like, the process and the philosophy there with going for two with that first touchdown scored when you're down 14.
Yeah, well, I think you understand the philosophy behind it. I think I have to go into every game understanding our team, their team, the matchups, the plays that we have available to us. Do we like them? Do we not? Those are the type of decisions that factor into the game. Obviously, you take all that information in, Daryl, as you know, in all your decisions that you make. But ultimately, you're making decisions based on the game that you're playing and what's in front of you.
And then just a question about Shador and just his progress, similar to what Mary Kay was asking. The fact that, he put up four touchdowns in just his, third start versus what he did in that first start at Las Vegas, just how pleasantly surprised are you with his progression in such a short timeline, considering maybe how far he might have been behind in training camp and maybe the first quarter of the season?
Yeah, again, not that maybe the terms I'd use other than tell you I've been really impressed by his work ethic. And that's going back to since the moment he got here. That's what we've been striving to work with him and with all of our guys. As you know, that's been a huge area for us is player development of all of our players. And I think the guys, when they embrace it, that's the fun part where you get to see these guys making strides. So he's still very early into his career, and he would tell you the same. You want to have constant improvement in everything you're doing. There's moments in these games that come up that are hard to replicate in practice. You can talk through them on tape. You can talk through them in a walkthrough, and then you get the rep in a game, and that's the most valuable learning tool you can have. And I think he will only take all of that and use that to his development moving forward.
Next, we're going to Scott.
Hey, Kevin. Couple other injury questions. Do you have an update on Denzel and David coming out of the game?
Yeah, no update other than to say we'll see how they are come Wednesday.
Jack still in the protocol?
Yes.
Wyatt out this week?
Yes.
Okay. And then after, with time to reflect on it, the idea of going with the hot hand with Shador on that last two-point conversion, like, do you have any second thoughts about it? I understand, why he went to the Wildcat, but the fact that he'd been playing so well, does that make you think twice about it?
Listen, when you come up short like you do, you think about everything and what you could do differently. Obviously, when you get in those moments, you have the calls ready to roll and plays that you've talked about pre-game and throughout the week. There are going to be times where you want to call back. There have been times where you have success and it didn't come off exactly how you wanted it. But bottom line is, we came up short in both those tries, and that's where I have to look at it and say, are there things that we can do better? And that's my job to look at it constantly.
Thanks.
Next, we'll go to Chris.
Hey, Kevin, I wanted to ask you about Ethan out. I'm assuming Luke is will be the starter against Chicago.
Yes.
Is there some benefit, at least in the transition, that Shador has worked a lot with Luke over the course of the offseason and everything, in terms of that connection between the quarterback and center?
Yeah, I understand the question potentially, but I think those guys all work really well together. Throughout this offseason, Chris, they've all kind of gotten reps with different guys. So I think Luke's somebody that, you know, when you're playing that position, the center position, we put a lot on your plate. And when you're working with Poe and your Poe's backup, you really have to lock in and understand all that. And Luke has worked very hard. So he's done a nice job of making sure he's ready to roll in any instance that we may need him. And I think he'll be ready to roll in this one.
One last question then on Shador and just his pocket presence and, you know, how, you know, one of the issues it seemed like he had early on was drifting a lot, you know, and drifting backwards. It seems like he's doing a better job, more consistent job of staying within the pocket, getting out obviously when he needs to, but just how have you seen him grow in that regard in his game?
Yeah, that's definitely been a area of focus for him that I think he continues to improve. I think there were multiple plays in that game where there was really good evidence of really good footwork that you can coach off of, that you want to, you know, point out that this is exactly drill work. This is what you're working on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It's showing up here on Sunday.
Thanks.
All right, next go to Tony.
Kevin, hi. Was it a mistake not to start Shador earlier?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into those type of things, Tony. I'm obviously focused on what's in front of us.
About the second 2-point conversion, Betonio said after the game, you guys were repping that play back in Philadelphia. I remember seeing it myself. But the fact is, Judkins was not with you in Philadelphia. So did he get reps Friday on that play?
He did.
How'd he do?
We ran the play. So, but, you know, Tony, bottom line is it's we'll always look at things that we can do better, but I trust our guys. We work hard during the week to rep plays that we may play that you may show in the game. But that was not the issue there.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Next one, Ashley.
Hey, Kevin, I had a question about the first 2-point conversion attempt. So I guess following up on what Chris was asking, was there an issue with the snap with Luke being in at that point and Ethan having come out? And was there any confusion just on the snap itself?
Yeah, no confusion in the snap. Obviously, you know, center quarterback exchanges, you don't want them to show up in a game like that. Those guys have had plenty of reps together. That you get reps before and after a series, those type of things. So that was unfortunate for that to happen at that moment.
And then, like, when the ball came out, it looked like kind of like multiple guys on both teams just standing around for a second or two. Like, was there just confusion on what happened, like the rules, or what do you think happened?
We actually just watched a play on Friday from the Miami-New Orleans game where there was an interception that went back on a 2-point play, which, we, you know, is a pick two. You get 2 points for it. So we just looked at that. It appeared to me like we touched him down. Now, we didn't look at it any closer because the result was what it was. But the guys know the rules there.
Okay, thanks.
All right, next we're going to Jeff.
Hey, Kevin, I have two questions. 2 years ago, your special teams were really good. Why do you think there have been so many issues this year?
Yeah, it's something that we look at really week to week, Jeff, on things that we can improve upon. Obviously, disappointed in yesterday and some of the things that happened yesterday that can't happen, but that's something we look at every week.
And then your defense has been so good against the run. What happened there yesterday?
Yeah, like you said, we've been very good in that area. It was uncharacteristic for us. We'll get back to work.
All right, thank you.
All right, next we'll go to Cam.
Hey, Kevin, kind of off of that run stop and defense question, obviously your first game without Malik Collins, was any of that felt, maybe the loss of him and trying to, as you said, you can't replace him, you just have to have guys step up for him, maybe the ramping up and getting them used to that kind of role?
You know, Cam, obviously Malik's a big part of who we are and our success and our, you know, our culture and all those things. So he's, of course, you're going to miss him, but we expect the guys that are in there to do their job.
And sticking on the defense, Alex Wright, Isaiah McGuire able to go in that one. Did you see them need to maybe ramp up a little bit at coming back from their injuries? And what are you expecting from them in these last four?
No, I thought there were some good moments from both those guys. Obviously, when you're coming off injury, you're definitely only going to improve. So I think they'll be even better next week.
All
Thanks.
All right, we'll go to Joe.
Kevin, just on analytics in general, because I know everybody uses them a lot throughout the league now, especially you guys. How much do you balance the analytics and the numbers over maybe having a young roster when it comes to making the decisions like going for two and all of that?
Yeah, I don't know if the young roster necessarily factors into that decision, Joe. I think every decision you make is based on, I mean, you can say analytics, but, you know, how good the defense is on a short yardage, what their percentage is of stopping the other team, is it statistics, and use that to make your decisions. And then you look at the matchups and your players versus their players. So I think it's certainly a tool and it's information to take in, but I think there's so much that goes into decisions when you're making them. The decision to go for two when you're down, you know, to start the series at 14, that's also based on the plays you have available to you, the matchups, those type of things. So I don't think it's ever just a black and white picture, if you will.
And then just game Sunday, I think 230 receiving yards after the catch. It seems like Shador, during his three starts, has been good about finding the open receivers and letting them operate in open space. Is that one of the areas of his game where you've seen progress too, where you've been able to get yards after the catch where maybe you didn't early in the season?
I don't know. I wouldn't compare it to early in the season. I would tell you, when you talk about rack and those type of things, I think it's there's a lot of dimensions to that, but certainly the accuracy of the throw factors into it. When you put the throw where the receiver or the tight end or the running back doesn't have to break stride, that allows you to maximize your speed throughout the route and into the play. And then it's the receivers winning versus man. I think Jerry's route, his big touchdown was versus man. He won, and he won. You know, with a lot of separation. So I think it all factors into it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, a few more, Mary Kay.
Yeah, just wondering, Kevin, now that you guys are officially eliminated from playoff contention, what's your confidence level that you have the infrastructure, the leadership group in place to make sure that these guys are going to be out there just fighting all the way to the end and playing as hard as they have been?
Yeah, we know it's in front of us, Mary Kay, that's all that we'll focus on. We got a big test this week in Chicago. That's the most important thing in front of us.
Okay, thank you.
Tony?
Thank you. You hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Kevin, when you guys broke down the 53 roster in September with 13 or 14 rookies, first-year players, how much of an understanding was there in the organization that this was going to be tough to win with that many rookies? And has your expectations overall been higher or lower than what we're getting here at 3-10?
Yeah, all I would tell you, Tony, is that the guys who are on the roster are guys that I trust, we trust. I don't get caught up in that type of thing other than to say that these young players that we're counting on continue to get better, and they got the right attitude.
Okay.
All right, last one from Scott.
Yeah, and I guess it relates to what Tony just asked you, but given you're playing so many rookies, especially on offense in key roles, is it just a cost of doing business that there's going to be mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes are in really critical moments?
I mean, in the sense that young players make mistakes, sure, but we trust our guys. These guys, part of making a mistake is you're learning from it and you're going to get better at it. I've told you guys many, many times, and this is still true, that this rookie class, especially the rookie class, because we're talking about them, they have the right attitude. They've worked like crazy since the moment they've been here. They keep the main thing, and that's what we'll continue to do. We'll just focus on the work and what's in front of us.
And I guess specifically after like the 2-point play with Quinshon, like what do you say to him when it doesn't go like you guys wanted it to go?
Yeah, I'll keep all those conversations between our guys internal, but we trust Quinshon. I trust all of our young guys, and we'll just continue to work at it, and that's what we'll do.
Thanks.
All right, that wraps us up. Thanks, Coach.
Hey, thank you, guys.
There's Kevin Stefanski. Said a couple of things there about Shador in particular. We dig in next on Baskin and Phelps.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Kevin Stefanski announcing, yes, Shedeur Sanders starter for the rest of the season. It's no surprise, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think it's a surprise either. It was the way he answered the question, though. Because every week it's been like, is Shedeur your quarterback for the rest of the
season?
Not
our focus. We're getting ready for the next game.
Yeah, he's our starter this week.
He just said yes.
He just came out, yes, he's our starter for the rest of the season. But what if he would have said no? Oh, my goodness.
Confirming, by the way, Ethan Posick in the Achilles.
Yeah, so, that sucks.
We wish him well in that recovery and getting a contract and everything else. That just stinks. Shedeur, the starter for the rest of the season, feels that he's getting better. Really liked his footwork and impressed by his work ethic, which is good. Thought it was interesting. He was asked, was it a mistake not to start Shedeur earlier in the season? Now, let's play devil's advocate here, okay? On one hand, the way he's playing now, you could say, yeah, okay. Should have tried to bring him along early on in the season and get him out there. That's an easy thing to say right now. We don't know where he was at the beginning of the season, in training camp, in all the off-season stuff. You know, was he in a position where he needed to really get up to NFL speed? You know, and if that's the case, then they did a really good thing in bringing him along slowly and making sure he was ready or as close to ready as you can get without actually playing to put him on the football field. That's a debate that we don't know the answer to. Now, Kevin said he was impressed with his work ethic. We've heard, seen stories of Myles Garrett spilling the beans about all the extra work that Kevin Stefanski did in going over stuff with Shedeur Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we'll ever know
anything. But he doesn't like him, just so you know that.
That's what I keep hearing.
I love these folks. He doesn't like him.
That's what I keep hearing. But we don't know the answer. Did he need some time to get up to speed? And if he did, guess what? Great. I work with a guy, and I'm looking right at him.
Yeah.
Who screams all the time, you don't have to put rookie quarterbacks on the field. Guess what? You're right.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're right.
Here's the other problem.
Let him have a chance to learn.
And if you want to go back to the question of should they have put Gabriel out there before Sanders, right? That seems to be the underlying question. Do you wish you would have played him earlier? Because I don't think the question of should you have put Sanders out over Flacco ever came into play, did it?
No, okay. nor with Gabriel.
So let me back it out to like this. I realize this goes back to the third, fifth round pick argument, which drives me crazy, but if you're a front office and you select someone in the third round over the fifth round, you're going to, I don't care if it was the other way around, you're going to play the third rounder first because it's almost like giving a full ride scholarship to a kid coming to college. Or maybe you may have a walk-on.
As opposed to a walk-on?
That's correct. Let's say you have a walk-on that comes into camp that maybe was contemplating quitting the game, but they're really good. And now all of a sudden you're like, you know what? You can walk on. And they let that guy walk on, yet they spent 6 months trying to recruit the person they brought in on a full ride scholarship. Who is going to get the first shot? Even if they think the walk on was better, who's getting the first shot? It's going to be the investment player. Now, can that turn down the road? Yes. And this is where it was there in the beginning of the year. So I can't blame the Browns for wanting to put their investment player out there first. Didn't work. Now you go on to plan B or C in this scenario. Or D even at some points.
Just to add something to that. There's not a huge difference in my mind between a third round quarterback and a fifth round quarterback.
I can agree with that too.
It's if you had a first round quarterback or maybe even a high second round quarterback, that's clearly your guy. At this point, you brought two rookie quarterbacks in. I'm going to assume, okay? And probably shouldn't.
Never assume,
because Jeff. We know what assume means. I'm going to assume that Dylan Gabriel looked better through everything they were doing. Now, they gave him more opportunities, as we know, because probably because of draft position, but maybe he looked better all around. Maybe he was more ready to come in and be an NFL quarterback than Shador, and Shador needed a little time. But bottom line is this. Now, Shador is starting the rest of the season. Now it's just two guys who play quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And I go back to this, and it makes me mad when people scream, you know, Kevin doesn't like Shador, they're holding stuff against him, blah, 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 blah. Maybe. But Dylan was drafted earlier, and I would assume that had Shador looked better than Dylan in everything that they were doing from the time they drafted him, he would have gotten an earlier opportunity. But they felt he needed more time. I keep going back to San Francisco and reading when they traded for Trey Lance and traded number ones to move up and draft him. And then they bring in this guy in the seventh round. And it's like, well, which guy? That guy looks better. He's doing a better job. They said, okay, we screwed up. Here, seventh rounder's our starter. And think about that. That's trading first rounders to move up to, I think he was the third overall pick in the draft, and the guy who is the last pick in the draft. That's a much bigger differential than a third and a fifth round pick.
And by the way, if you're an organization that just said swing and a miss, meaning you screwed up on a gigantic trade, you're going to go out there and readmit another mistake right after that? Well, it's not as big,
you know what, though,
but
Andy,
it's like, how often are you going to go out there and say, we made a mistake?
I have a hard time.
Because everyone's killing Kevin Stefanski for saying that. We got to be better. We got to do this. How often can you go out there and say, we made a mistake? Ownership can do it a million times over. It's not going to change. You still own the team. There's no one to fire you from your own job, right?
Yeah.
Unless the league steps in. We've only seen it once, Jeff, in the NBA. It's the only time I've ever seen an owner kind of get fired. And what a bad retirement plan that was, $1 billion.
Right. I just think, honestly, when you draft a quarterback in the third round, the fourth round, fifth round, you're not thinking that guy's your franchise quarterback. You're hoping to get lucky. Maybe the Browns have gotten lucky.
Yes.
With Shador. Maybe. Yeah. When you trade up to take a guy third overall in Trey Lance and you miss, that's huge. And then the next year you bring in Purdy and he's better and you admit your mistake and play him. That's big. I don't think that missing on a guy or having a fifth rounder beat out a third rounder is that big of a deal. I really don't.
I'll buy it.
Cool Ray's in Bedford.
Cool Ray.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I'm going to try to stay calm and bring the center in. You know what I'm saying?
We're going to be centered on this question. Yes.
I'm being centered. I love you guys, but I have to totally disagree with you. Like, I do feel that he has something against Shador. I don't know what it is, but I look at certain things that I've never seen in football before. I've never seen a head coach. Never. At no level have I ever seen a head coach. And I don't know about you guys. Never praise a football player, not game balls.
He gave Myles Garrett a game ball because he set an NFL record. I can't.
But you know what though? I get that one. But what I don't understand, like this, you know, when even if it was your son, and moving forward, even that, and not even talk to him on the sidelines. This is what I look at.
How do you know he's
like,
not talking to him on the sidelines?
I watch these games.
But you only see 4-second clips.
You see what's punched up on TV.
That's it. I mean, if he's doing his job, he's probably not talking. Look, I'm not disagreeing with you, Cool Ray. I actually deep down agree with everything you're saying here. But I've got to defend, like, as two guys that have worked in TV forever, you don't see what you don't see. Unless you're sitting in the first couple rows of the stadium watching to see who's talking to who, I can't sit here and go, well, he doesn't talk to his quarterback throughout the game. You literally get a three-second cutaway every blue moon.
Okay, right, sorry. And I just go, I go like, wow, but that game, all I see, you know what, you guys have taught us nothing. If you guys have taught us, all the fans, anything, you taught us this. Great quarterbacks make B players look great. We've heard that from you guys all the time.
I agree.
Yeah. Yesterday, you cannot tell me those B receivers that we've been harping about looked great yesterday.
And for, they looked okay yesterday. Jerry Judy made a really nice catch. Harold Fannin was terrific.
And Harold has been consistent across the board the whole season. I mean, I've been praising Harold since day one, so.
Evan Jarvin saying we and for a quarterback who the team has said, who he has said, haven't got any starts, any first string quarterbacks, second was his third.
But Cool Ray, he's the starter now. So what the hell difference does it make? What difference does it make now, Cool Ray?
But I'm saying that you just said what he would have looked like with
maybe he wasn't ready, Cool Ray.
Think about it. If this is his third start ever, right? 368, four touchdowns, one interception.
Against the worst defense in the league.
But you got to play who's on your schedule, right?
I agree with that. Cool, right?
The guy did a great job. What the hell difference does it make what they talked about in August? He's the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Can we bury all the other stuff? Can we please bury that? He's the starting quarterback. He threw for 360-something, three touchdowns, scored another one.
And he finally said he's your starter for the rest of the year.
And the coach has been putting in extra time bringing him along. Boy, Kevin sure screwed him over, didn't he, Andy? It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.